you become who you needed at some point in time in your life. And so basically for me, I wish I would have had people back then when I got divorced that can really help guide me into pursuing my dharma. And instead of just jumping back into some other kind of hamster wheel, which was nursing for me, that's the thing, is that there was things that were telling me that wasn't my forever place for years. But how did I navigate it? I just went to a different department. I went to a different hospital, you know, but it was still like the same shit, different day kind of thing. And then getting to this point where the COVID mandates came down, and this is like, we typically have patterns in our lives that brings us to that path that is our purpose. And that is when the same, you get in the same situations, whether it's a friendship, a romantic relationship, or a job. I would get to this crossroads where it comes down to, if I can't fully be in my power, in my essence, in my truth, and speaking my truth, then this is not the place for me.
Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Paulette Rigo, and I'm here to guide you through the storm of divorce into much calmer waters. So hold tight. Whether you're contemplating divorce, in the thick of it, or just rebuilding post-divorce, I've got you covered. Each episode will tackle the tough topics, share resilient stories, and offer practical, helpful advice to help you navigate with confidence wisely. Remember, you're not alone. I've been there, and so have millions of others. And your brighter future awaits, I promise. Ready to turn a tough time into a time of growth? I know you are. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you find this content helpful, please share it with others who might benefit. Now, let's dive into today's topic. See you soon. I'm hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host, Tierra, and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Hey, welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. Most of you know who I am already, but just in case you're new around these woods, my name is Paulette Rigo, and I like to bring on guests who are experts in their fields that can shed a little bit of light and give you some additional tools and tips and value as to where you are in your journey and how you can get where you want to go. Today, my guest is Jessica Love. And yes, that is her real name. My daughter had a friend with the last name Love too. Hi, Sophie, if you're out there. And let's just go a little bit with Jessica's bio briefly. She's a trained RN, but she's a transformational spiritual life coach. Can't speak sometimes. And she's the founder of the Courage Revolution. I love that name. Welcome to the podcast today, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Paulette. I'm super happy to be here and excited to drop some little nuggets of wisdom for anybody that's in this crazy time of their life.
Well, ditto and exclamation point after that one. Crazy is a true word. Although around these neck of the woods, we try to make sure that divorce is better and easier and wiser, not necessarily crazier. Although it can be, we can't eliminate all the craziness. So let's start at the beginning of your journey. When did you get married? How long were you married? A little bit about your divorce so the people understand that you get it.
Okay. So I was actually raised Mormon and I was raised with the belief that you do not get divorced. Mm. And also with the belief that you as a woman and a wife, your job is to do everything in your power to make sure they are happy and to make sure the relationship stays intact. So I went into dating and relationships thinking that it was completely only my burden to bear. Mm-hmm. And I was also raised by a dad that was like, my daughter will never depend on a man. So also raised to be very responsible and very productive, you know, and to be like a high achiever as well. So I grew up with very strict parents and I was never, I mean, I had two older brothers. I was never like super into boys. You know, I had people asking me out, was never interested. And then at a certain point, our friends of friends, like my brother's friends, knew somebody. And so then we kind of started talking and we were 15 when we met. And so we started dating at like 15, 16. And like I said, I wasn't super into boys. So it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is fun. This is nice. You know, not like super serious. Like this is like my life partner. Right. And then I had those strict parents and it was like the only way I could go out and do things and leave the house was because he came and picked me up and paid for everything and brought me home by curfew. And we lived really far out in the country. So it was like, okay, well, it worked, right? Like he was actually my way out of the house and way out into the world kind of, you know? And so then it was just, we just stayed together after that. And then we came from extremely different households. Like I said, Mormon, big family. We had foster kids, really close with all of my other family. He came from a very dysfunctional house where his dad rolled with the Hells Angels motorcycle club. Never been to church a day in his life.
Quite different because yes. I have some clients who are Mormons. And I always was under the impression, I mean, I grew up Catholic, so that's a whole nother conversation,
yeah.
That because it's a very tight community, not just in the religion or the beliefs of the faith, but also in the community. Mm-hmm. Right. And that you predominantly are, you meet your future love to be because of the church and the community. And the fact that you didn't do that was, that's the first time I've ever heard of that, you trailblazing woman, you.
Well, that was the thing is that I never subscribed to any of those beliefs and mm-hmm. any of the religion. And my parents like made us go to church, but they didn't make us do a whole lot outside of that because we had, like I said, a big, busy family. We had, you know, there's four of us kids. Then we had two to three foster kids at a time. And we had our own business too. So it was kind of like, whatever, that's just not the battle. Right. And then
so
my dad
wasn't
was
expected of you.
No. And my dad was a convert. So it wasn't like that was all he knew was Mormonism. He lived a whole different life up mm-hmm. until 20 something right. years old before he converted. So we were more of like Jack Mormons in a way. So then of course, I didn't subscribe to the religion and I was much more open in all the other ways. And also, you know, obviously very naive in a way of like, okay, well, just because their family's not like our family doesn't mean anything, right? Doesn't mean bad. And if anything, I kind of also was raised in that like savior complex too. Okay.
Good
because
point.
The religion,
I hear you. Right.
Yes. We're yeah, like,
and,
oh,
and
you
I
have
don't
to
want
serve
to make
everybody.
This a conversation about religion, Jessica.
No, no, no.
But it is an interesting observation about you as being so young and what, you know, you were used to. Right.
Yeah.
So you meet this charming young man.
Yeah. And like I said, it just worked, right? Like he came and picked me up and then like, that was my way out of the house. And then I just loved the contrast of how different his life and their life was compared to mine, right? So it was almost like it was intriguing and it was something that was alluring at that time in my life. But I was also that girl that was like very future driven though. So it was kind of like, I knew where I was going. I knew what I wanted. And I was going to go to college. So whatever happens, happens, right? And so I got into UC Santa Cruz in California. And basically my parents were like, well, because you got into a UC, you're going. And then I'm like crushed because now this is like, oh, my like young love. And okay, now I have to leave. And so we did break up for like a week. And then it was like, no, we'll make it work. So then during college, I went off to college and I was there UC Santa Cruz for like a year and a half. And then my parents were like, okay, we don't want to pay for it anymore. You're on your own to figure out your life. Right. And so then I came home and was like, okay, completely revolted, moved in with him and his family because my parents were being crazy. So moved in with him and his family. And then him and I eventually moved out together. And then it was very interesting in our 20s because I feel like everyone should be single in their 20s, by the way. Because
I agree.
I don't think anyone should get married till after 30. Like I think after like 32, where you've whatever you're going through in your 20s, whether you're going to college, whether you're traveling, whatever, it's a self-discovery phase. And in that phase, him and I were both like trying to find out what we're doing with our lives, but also still cohabitating together. So we definitely were more like roommates in that time because I was working crazy hours. I was in nursing school because then I came home from Santa Cruz and paid for my own college after that. So then I went to, you know, community college and then went to Sac State after that for nursing school. So then we're living in the same house, but we have super busy schedules. And yeah, like we spent time together and had friends together. But it was crazy that like, I feel like we tend to fill our lives with a lot of busy. So then you don't actually have to think about what's happening in your own home. You don't actually have to think about of like, do we actually work? Do we actually want the same things? Or are we just going through the motions? And so that's really what it was, is going through that motions of, as many females have, we're checking the boxes. Oh, go to college. Okay. I get a degree. I get a career. Okay. Now we're going to get engaged and buy a house. So then we got engaged, we bought our house, we moved, and then now we're both in we both had graduated whatever schooling we were in. Mm-hmm. So now we're in our careers and we moved away from his home base of like all he ever knew. I have moved around multiple other places, so I wasn't really attached to any place. So we move closer to his work basically, and I'm working a lot and I'm commuting, and then he's working. And he's not as busy now because he's not in school and working. So then it got really weird because there's where like shit really started to hit the fan and like to like the realness to be uncovered. Cause now he's not as busy in his life where it's like, he doesn't have as much purpose. And this is a big thing I talk about with a lot of men is finding like their purpose in life. Cause men are very like task oriented driven. Right. So he's just kind of going through the motions and then he's like super unhappy, but he won't admit it. And I am busy working nights and all this kind of stuff. So then he started partying a lot and it just got weird. So then at a certain point in time, I was like, this is not right. And he wouldn't talk to me about stuff. So then I started to get crazy and I started to snoop and I didn't trust my gut. So we ended up splitting for a couple of weeks. And when I basically drew the line in the sand and said, hey, look, we have cars together. We have a house together. you don't just go on a break, right? We're either going to commit to this and we're going to figure out what we're doing and we are going to work up to getting married, or we're splitting this and we get to decide who keeps what. And that was like a huge come to Jesus moment for him. And at that moment, it was like, well, no, I want this. I said, okay. So I didn't put the ring back on until we worked through things and figured that out, because then there was another woman involved at a certain point. So then it was like, well, no, we have to work on building this trust and figuring out if this is truly what we want. And I had this like plan in my head for my life. And the hard part is he said he wanted the same thing. But then when it really came down to it, he didn't. He was very attached to the material world. Like, he wanted all the things. I wanted to be traveling. I wanted to be exploring and having fun, because my 20s, I spent working and going to school. You know, I didn't get to go through that discovery phase for myself. And then I wanted kids at a certain point in time also. So then all of a sudden, okay, we do get reengaged, do get married. And for the first, because we were only married for a year when I filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. And for the first couple months, it was like, oh, I was more important, you know, and we were already together 10 years by this time. I was more important. And then all of a sudden, it was like, none of it mattered. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about all the things he'd been lying about all these years. And he said it didn't count because it was before we were married. And so he was really just playing a role of what he thought I wanted. And I think he did want it partly for most of that time, but I think it was just so different than what he actually knew. And here's the thing, is that we will choose a familiar hell over an unfamiliar heaven. So it's almost like you reach that like happiness ceiling, right? Where it's like, okay, well, I can't be happier than this. So we ended up getting in just a lot of debt, and I made twice as much money. I ended up basically almost becoming the man in the relationship, where I made all the money. I paid all the bills. I organized the house. I went and got the cars maintenanced on my days off, you know? So it was kind of like, why are you even here? And all you're doing is costing me more money. And he threw a huge fit because I didn't want to do a joint account. So I eventually gave in. And that was a huge lesson for me of like, I didn't know how to maturely conflict manage. I only knew to just self-sacrifice and compromise, because that's what I saw my mom do. I saw my mom say something, it caused a fight, so she'd stop saying it. So then that's what I did. Yeah. I'd say what I did or didn't want. And because it wasn't what he wanted, it was like, well, it doesn't matter then. So then here we are, I'm 27 and I'm in so much debt, working so much for him to just be partying and living his life. And I was like, this isn't even what I want, you know? And so I tried to tell him, and then he started hanging out with a lot of very unfavorable people. Like I said, he grew up in a lot of chaos. I didn't in that way. So then he starts hanging out with a bunch of people that are just drinking and doing drugs. So then he develops a cocaine habit. I don't find out till months later. And I finally was like, this is not what I want. I'm willing to support you and help you if you truly do have a problem that you need help with, or you're unhappy in your career. What else do you want to do? Because I make more money and I had the capacity to make as much money as I wanted to, if I was willing to work those hours, I said, I will foot whatever our finances are for you to pursue something that you truly feel happy in. No, it's fine. No, clearly it's not. So then it did not get better. It only got worse. And then he started being like really unpredictable and like just highly emotional, and then really clingy, which is crazy because we did a lot of stuff separately throughout our entire relationship. And then now all of a sudden he doesn't want me to go anywhere. And then, but yet he doesn't want to go with me. So then it was like, I'm like, wait, who are you right now? And so I like was disgusted. I lost a lot of respect and I was like, no. And it got to the point where I got to that crossroads of, am I going to choose me and what I want for my life? Or am I going to choose this relationship that doesn't work? So I filed for divorce. I started seeing a therapist, and he wouldn't go to therapy. He wouldn't do anything to try to make it work, right?
So I'm going to ask you, and there's so many things I've been taking little notes on, relating to. I guess we could start at the beginning there. Where the first thing you said was you were attracted to the contrast of how different his family was from yours. And oh, could I relate? I was from a very small family. His was one of those ridiculously large Italian families that had so many cousins. I couldn't remember
their
names.
Family.
Their names. Like yeah. Everything was, you know, like my cousin Vinny, the movie. Although there really was a cousin Vinny, and that's not a joke. So the age factor. You said, I don't believe we should get married till we're at least 30. Well, having studied I don't know which philosophy to go with, but the human dynamics of change, our cells change in our bodies and we change every 9 years. So nine, then you think of 10, the difference between 9 and 10. Let's talk about the difference between 18 and 19. Woo! How about 27 to 28, where you're almost 30? Like when you're 25, you're like, okay, I'm in the mid of my 20s, but you hit 26 and you're like, oh, I'm closer to 30 than I am 20. And then you hit 27 and you think, oh my God, I'm almost 30. And then you hit 28 and people start to rush and they want, you know, before I'm old, I have to achieve that level of, I don't know, like you said, the checklist, right? And then let's talk about 36, because, oh, well, we're close to 40. So every 9 years, let's just do the math. You guys remember the timetables, 9, 18, 27, 36, 45, and then 54. Now, most women hit that midlife crisis, and it happens with men too, like 45, between 45 and 54, you know, it's like, that's when most, you know, the marriages start to look at, are we staying together for the children? Why are we really married? Are we married because we're in a connected, congruent love affair and relationship that is not an obligation, but is one out of congruency is my favorite word with that, right? We're in this together. It's a collective thing, right? Yeah. And then we don't even need to get into 63, 72, and 81 and, you know, 90. So now it's a matter of, you said we stay busy so we don't have to pay attention to family things or dynamics or work. Yes, escapism in general, right? There's so much of that where, you know, whether it's shopping online or in a store, alcohol, drug usage, that's all just escapism, by the way, people. I don't mean an occasional, you know, beer at a football game. I mean, like usage, right? Where this is a problem. My goodness. But then you started to notice. So my question now is the tipping point. What was that point where you said, if I stay in this marriage one more day, I'm going to damage my soul?
Ooh, that was that moment that basically we had went on a camping trip for 4th of July and it was an absolute disaster of a camping trip. Okay. When he started to do cocaine in his recreational time, right? Then when we were places that he didn't do it, he had no stopping point with drinking. So then he couldn't tolerate drinking without doing cocaine. So then it was like, you know, the camping trip was a disaster. The four-wheel drive got blown out. Like the people we were camping with, it was crazy. The guy's wife left him at the campsite, like madness. And so then on the way home, something happened to the truck too. And it was like this tipping point of like, okay, how much can I take? Cause that's the other thing is that what I acknowledged in my parents' relationship is that my mom was the chaos container. My dad would create chaos. My mom would go behind him and pick it all up. And that was 100% our relationship. And that entire weekend was like one thing after another. And I've learned that when you are in a state of like chaos like that, something is misaligned. That the universe is trying to clear the path and detach you from whatever it is that's not in alignment. So the trip was a disaster. I had to call in sick one of the days. And then as soon as we got home, I had to go to work the next day. And so then I had to work multiple days in a row. And so then I had met up with him and his sister and some other people for one of his family members' birthday parties. And then after the party, we're driving home. It's already late and I have to work the next morning. And he decides we need to stop somewhere. And he was trying to be like really discreet about he wanted to go pick up drugs. And we're in the, it's after midnight and we're in the ghetto in Stockton, California. I don't know if anybody knows where Stockton is. Okay. It's the ghetto.
Haven't been, but I've heard.
Yes. So then he decides we need to go to his dealer's house. And now I am the designated driver that night. So now I am stuck having to, you know, do whatever everyone wants me to do. And so then I'm sitting in the car on a dark street in the middle of the night. And I have to work in like 6 hours. And I worked in the emergency room at the time by myself while he's getting drugs. And I was like, what is my life right now? And I was 27. And I was like, this is not, that's that tipping point. This is not what I wanted for my life.
Remember the age, 27.
Yeah.
So you had a moment where you said, I can no longer be associated, involved, connected, fill in the, whatever other word you want to throw in that list, with this man, these poor decisions. It's not in alignment with me. And you earlier mentioned purpose. You mentioned the word purpose. And I'm a huge believer of this. I'm trained in the four desires from my yoga teacher, Rod Stryker, who wrote the book, The Four Desires. And dharma is the word that means purpose or calling or longing or whatever word you want to throw in there. And I couldn't agree more. When anyone feels that they're treading water, walking down a path that, or not even, they're meandering aimlessly without any, you know, magnetic pull or calling, where you feel lost, it, whether that's your career or your family or your relationships, your decision-making, it's never going to end well.
Nope.
And if you're listening to the audio, Jessica's nodding her head. So you left a man behind, which I'm sure was not easy, at the ripe old age of 27. And even though here you are, a beautiful, intelligent, you know, educated woman who's a nurse working in the ER, you know, it's not like that happens. It just doesn't fall from the sky. You had to work your ass off to get that to happen. And, you know, you're here, you were at the ripe old age of 27, divorced, thinking, now what? Right. So how do you, as a transformational life coach, spiritual life coach, create the courage revolution that allows you to really be a force to be reckoned with, to allow or to encourage and inspire others? So you left California. Tell everybody where you live now.
Yeah. So this all happened in 2012. So I'm 38 now. And
she's an old woman of 38. Right. Yeah.
So you become who you needed at some point in time in your life. And so basically for me, I wish I would have had people back then when I got divorced that can really help guide me into pursuing my dharma. And instead of just jumping back into some other kind of hamster wheel, which was nursing for me, that's the thing, is that there was things that were telling me that wasn't my forever place for years. But how did I navigate it? I just went to a different department. I went to a different hospital, you know, but it was still like the same shit, different day kind of thing. Yeah. And then getting into this point where the COVID mandates came down, and this is like, we typically have patterns in our lives that brings us to that path that is our purpose. And that is when the same, you get in the same situations, whether it's a friendship, a romantic relationship, or a job, I would get to this crossroads where it comes down to, if I can't fully be in my power, in my essence, in my truth and speaking my truth, then this is not the place for me. And that was with my career as well. They didn't want people that wanted to advocate for safe conditions and safe patient care and things like that. So it was like the same crossroads where it was like, am I going to self-abandon and keep myself small and give away my power for some sense of security or to belong or to have, just to have something, not to be something? So I got to that point in my evolution of, okay, recognizing that's like the first step of any transformation in your life is awareness. Are you aware of your circumstances, aware of your environment and your place in them? So I got to that place where I said, okay, I've known this wasn't for me, but I didn't have the courage to leave just yet. And so I got to that point where this is it. I cannot self-abandon another day, you know, for my safety, my sanity, for everything that is in me. I would rather lose all other forms of security and belonging, because ultimately you always belong to yourself. When you build that really solid foundation within yourself, it doesn't matter who or what is in your life. And this is what I like to tell people that are going through divorce. And like, this is such a small blip of time and the whole timeline of your entire life. And that the only, I know you feel in like the darkness, the only way through, the only way to get to the other side and to get to the light is through that. It's like to find that little glimmer or to create that glimmer that's going to get you through whatever it is you're going through is like the biggest thing to help save you and to help give you that empowerment and to know that you are intrinsically worth every damn bit of abundance and happiness and joy and ease in your life.
Yeah. Beautifully said. And you're not saying it's easy. You're not saying that there's some, you know, you can't Google the exact steps to get out of a relationship. You can't, you can read 1,000 books, listen to 1,000 podcasts, read 1,000 blogs, ask the advice of 1,000 people, but it's your own intuitive inner knowingness of connected to that calling, that longing, that purpose. So when you wake up and you stare at the ceiling at whatever time it is, whether it's 2 in the morning or 7 or whatever time, and you don't question your life, you don't lay there feeling empty and void and confused. You feel, you know, maybe you're a little tired, maybe you stayed up too late, whatever, but you still feel inspired and empowered to get out of bed and do your work and live your life. When you're in a marriage or a work situation, whatever the situation is, but particularly in a marriage, because it is a legal binding contract, and people don't realize that when you march down the aisle, even if it's on the beach, in your white, whatever you're wearing, you are now entering into a legal binding contract. And the only way out is a divorce. If it's not working, and again, you all know I'm not pro-divorce. I'm happily, very happily remarried. So I believe in love. I believe in marriage. But if you happen to be in a marriage where, as Jessica beautifully stated, just isn't in alignment, it hurts. It's just, it's very, very painful. And shit, I can't tolerate this anymore. You have a choice, right? You can either look the other way, pretend everything is fine, and, you know, put on the fake mask and put on your lipstick, as I was taught to, when I was a dancer, never let them see you sweat. The show must go on. Keep, you know, I mean, think about it. The show must go on. What bullshit is that? No, it doesn't need to go on. You have the power to control your future. Don't think for a minute that someone else has the power over you to tell you what to do. They do not. It does take some courage and some knowledge to get there. You need to understand there doesn't have to be the terrible litigated nightmare. You don't have to go through 8.5 years like I did. That's why I created Better Divorce Academy. It can be better. No lawsuit. No court, no plaintiff, no defendant. You can divorce with dignity and save a ton of money. And if your spouse says, oh, well, see you in court, I still got your back. You can do it. So tell us a little bit about the podcast that you started 6 months ago. I'm so proud of you. I love when women have a story to tell and feel that they want to have a platform in which to help others. And that's what it's all about, helping others.
Yes. So I got really into podcasting in the last like handful of years. Like I'm just an avid learner. And one of the people I follow, Mark Groves, on one of his podcasts, he said, if you want to know your purpose, think about where your pain is, right? And what brings you that emotion,
right?
And what breaks your heart. And for me, it was in healthcare. I would look around and I would just see people in like zombie land, right? Mm-hmm. And people just existing, just going through the motions, just like the whole external validation stuff, right? And it's like, you will never fill that massive gaping hole inside of you with anything outside of you. So just tons of people, whether it's patients or staff. And that's the thing, is that we can ignore by numbing out, but ultimately our body keeps score and it will stop us. This is where the chronic illness comes from. This is where cancer comes from, all the things. It's because we are not like living in our purpose and we're ignoring things. So I saw so many people just in so much pain and in so much fear and in so much suffering. And I just sat there and I was like, this cannot be why we were put here, to just suffer and live in fear and just survive. And then when all the mandates came down and everybody at work knew that I was getting terminated because I refused to comply. And so many people pulled me aside and said, I wish I had the courage that you have. And I'm like, you know what though? I am not freaking special like that. It's not that I was born with some other kind of unique thing where I have courage and you don't. No, it is available to every single one of us. It's always that choice. Like you said, we always have a choice. So when all that happened, I read Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. And that's what she talks about having courage. And she talks about all this stuff. And I said, you know what, Mom? I'm going to lead a freaking revolution. And then it kind of clicked and I said, a courage revolution. And so then what I've been doing is a lot of people come and talk to me everywhere on social media and out in public. And I really just kind of take in what everybody is saying that they need. And then I go search for people and call in people that have stories to tell that coincide with what everybody is struggling with. So a lot of people struggle with relationships. And that is something that we do talk a lot about on my podcast. But then other things are having the courage to question things, mm-hmm. you know, to really like become your own inner guru. Like nobody outside of you, nothing outside of you will ever have the answers that you have within you that intrinsically exist there. You just have to learn to cut out all the noise and to get into that internal space. And so that's what I talk about with a lot of people, is coming home to yourself and you have all those answers. So I interview a lot of people that basically they chose courage. They chose that they were going to live their life differently. Mm-hmm. And then I help them tell their story and then offer whatever services that they offer as well, because I've literally gone the entire pendulum swing of just all things crunchy and alternative. So I love to have people on there that do energy healing and crystals and, you know, just whatever alternative medicine practice they have, because they got to that point by their struggle, their journey. And here's the thing, is that we will continue to struggle if we fight against what we are actually here to do.
Yes. And I love that you focused on the word courage. I forget exactly, I'm going to butcher it, but courage comes from the derivative of a French word, courage. And I believe it means something like the voice of the heart. You know, it's coming from that curiosity, right? Of the internal versus the external, coming home to yourself. It's like at the end of the day, when you pull in the driveway, if you've been out in your car all day, I'm using an analogy here, that feeling that you have when you pull in the driveway, and if you're in suburbia, you know, and the car garage door goes up and you pull in, or, you know, and you walk in your house, whether you live in an RV or a tent, or you've got a, whatever the, you know, and you're in a 26th floor of an apartment. It's just an analogy, but you know, that feeling, that soft landing that you have, right? But there's a take that same feeling inside, where you have the same feeling, the same, what we call in the yoga traditional bhavana, where it's an essence. It's a knowingness. Sanskrit's, it's interesting language because there's, you know, 10 different definitions to every word, where you just know it. You can put your thumb on it. You know, it's got your DNA on it, right? I used to use the analogy of when it's like wearing shoes that don't fit, right? Or opposite. Have you ever put on a pair of shoes that are so darn comfortable, you almost forget you're wearing them?
Yeah.
Right? They're your go-to flip-flops or sneakers or high heels even. Like, you just know, oh, I'm going to be on my feet all day, so I'm going to wear those shoes, right? That's the feeling that you want to have, that sense of comfort where you don't have to question your decisions and your relationship and the work you do. Because not only does it feel right, it just is right. And you don't have to explain why it's right. It just is. You know, when you meet someone, that it's right. You know, you can't help who you fall in love with. It's sometimes a lesson when both people aren't on the same page, but you know, as we've experienced, when you're in a marriage or a relationship that isn't congruent, you know, you're not walking down the same road, you know, it's like railroad tracks that derail. You just immediately know, like, hey, this is what it feels like to be in a relationship that works. This is what it feels like to be in a job, a career, entrepreneurship, whatever you're doing, that is so comfortable that, you know, you feel like you don't have to work. You know, nothing wrong with hard work. I'm a believer in hard work. I work some 10, 12, 16 hours a day. Day goes by like that. I never look like, oh, how long have I been working? I might get hungry and they go, you know, oh, it's dark out, but I'm always passionate about the work I do. And I want everyone listening to find that career and that relationship and that path that is the same for you too. So tell everybody the best way to find you and follow you and learn more about you.
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Courage Revolution, and it is on Spotify, Apple, all the platforms. And I usually post an episode once a week. It's video and audio. And then my Instagram is at the Jessica Love Experience. Mm-hmm. So those are the two best places. And then I have a link in my bio that you can find my website and be able to book one-on-ones with me and to email me or contact me, however.
It's all there. I'll have it in the show notes too. So Jessica, thank you for this really, I'm going to call it a walk down memory lane for me of, you know, I've been relating to so many things that you've been sharing. And isn't that the story, that we're not in this alone?
No.
We have, yes, different DNA, different life stories, different resumes, different biology, but we're all in this together. The similarities are more than the differences. So until next time, everybody, make it better. You got to. It's not an option. I'm here. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. That's it, my darling. Thank you so much.
Isn't it amazing?
Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time. Keep thriving in the chaos.